Welcome to an incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, Associate Pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Well, God bless you guys today. Thank you, Pastor Ron, again, for allowing me to preach in the first service. We are continuing our series on faith supplements. Faith supplements. And we're talking about the seven spiritual ingredients listed out in 2 Peter chapter 1 that help build us a godly life. He says to supplement your faith, to add to your faith. He talks about seven godly spiritual ingredients that if we add to our life, that we will become, that we would become effective believers, that we will be healthy Christians, that we would be people that would be pleasing to God. And I just think as Christians, that's every one of our desire, is to get closer to Him and to be pleasing to Him. And so Peter, in this letter that he wrote to these Christians, he lists out seven things that if you add these things, that not only will you be effective, but also it says that you will be strong, that you will be people who will be pleasing to Him. And so, and we talked about, you know, we talked about supplements in general, that we take supplements for us to be healthy, you know, whether it be vitamins, minerals, herbs. These are all things that are important, and they help maintain and increase our overall nutrition in areas that we might be lacking. And it's because we use these things because our health is important. But it's also important for us to know that our spiritual health is just as important. And like vitamins, there are spiritual supplements that we can take every single day to help boost our faith, to help strengthen our faith. And we talked about the importance that we have to maintain our own relationship with God, our faith. Beginning in chapter 1, in 2 Peter, in verse 3, he starts off by saying, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. He's given us everything, everything we need. In fact, He gives us the desire to want to please God. He gives us everything, including the desire. And He tells us, in chapter 1, continuing, He tells us that everything that we need to build a godly life is found in God's Word. Amen. Just like Pastor Ron was talking about Lowe's, it's where we go to find building material. Whenever we want to find things to help build a godly life, we find them in God's Word. We go to His Word. And it says that they're a part of His promises that He's given us, these very precious promises. And it says that it helps us to escape the corruptions from our evil desires. That when we begin to add these things to our life, not only do we draw closer to God, but it gets us further away from the things that we've been trying to run away from. The things that we're trying to get further away from, it says that when we add these things to our life, we become more like Him, but it also gets us further away, further and further away from those traps that the devil tries to set for us. So He says, we must add to our faith. And He starts off, the first thing He says is virtue. And we talked about how virtue is the courage, the desire and the courage to do the right thing in every situation. He says to add to your faith. And we talked about how culture cannot be the thing that defines what is right. We cannot allow what other people say and what is popular hearsay to define for us what the right thing is. Because at the end of the day, culture doesn't decide what is right, but instead God's Word, He defines what is right. It is established in His Word. And virtue, at the end of the day, it comes down to convictions. Because at the end of the day, without convictions, we can be talked into doing anything. We need convictions. We need godly convictions so that when the time comes, there's something on the inside of us that says, no, I've got to do the right thing. No, I'm going to choose to do this. because it's a conviction. When we're convicted of something, we won't cross that line. We all have some kind of conviction, and the Word of God wants us to add virtue, something that we decide that we will not cross this line because it is something that we believe. It is doing the right thing. We talked about the second thing. He says not only should we add virtue, but we also must add knowledge. And we define knowledge as truth acquired from God's word, or in other words, knowing what the right thing is. Knowledge, and it's defined in God's word that knowledge is what is right in God's eyes. Having the courage and the desire to do the right thing, but also knowing what that right thing is. We talked about how there's a spiritual battle happening, and it's all about truth. It's all about what is right. Because God, he's trying to get truth in the hands of every single person. Not just, you know, with believers, but also in those who don't know Jesus. He's trying to get the truth in their hands. While the devil is doing everything he can to deceive us from the truth. We have to know what is right. In fact, in 2 Peter, the word knowledge is listed 15 times because he understood the importance of them knowing the truth. We must have knowledge of the truth because it also informs us of what truly matters. So, he says we must add virtue and we must add knowledge. And the third thing he talks about, the third supplement that we take, the spiritual supplement we must take, is self-control. He lists them as 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And virtue with knowledge. And knowledge, we must add self-control. The first supplement is having the courage and the desire to do the right thing. The second supplement, and knowledge, is knowing what that right thing is. And then there's self-control. I would define self-control as the ability to do the right thing in the moment of temptation. And the moment when that time comes, we'll have the desire to do the right thing. We know what the right thing is, but when temptation creeps in, self-control is the ability to say no to ourselves and to say yes to what is right. Self-control. You know, we can have the desire to do what is right, and we can know what is right. But without self-control, those things are meaningless. If we continue to give into temptation every time, we must have self-control. Now, that word self-control in the Greek is the word ekkretia, which is mastery over desires. It is the mastery over our desires. It is dominion within. I like that idea of being able to have dominion within my own self. Mastery over my own desires. It's the idea, the idea is being able to take a grip of oneself. You know, that's where we get that saying from, you know, get a grip. Come on, pull yourself together. Come on, man, don't give in right now. Get a grip. It's the ability to control ourselves on the inside, from within. But this happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reason is because self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Or in other words, it is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit working in our life. There are fruits listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It lists out these different fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. You know, and it continues. These things are byproducts of the Holy Spirit working in our life. They begin to produce, they begin to become available for us, which tells us that self-control is more than just a surface level restraint. There is things that we are able to have willpower over. that we can say no to, that we should choose, you know, I'm not going to do that. But there are certain things, certain areas of our life that we don't have the ability just to say no in our own willpower, because it's more than just me not wanting to do something. It's spiritual. The spiritual aspect of self-control applies to the spiritual things, the spiritual attacks, those things in our life that we just have trouble just getting rid of, the things that we continually wrestle with in our minds, the things that we continue to wrestle with in our life. Those things are more than just you just, oh man, why do I keep just doing this? I need to get a grip of myself. It's more than that. Most likely, it is a spiritual attack from the enemy, because there is a spiritual battle that we are in. Whether we believe it or not, whether we want it or not, there is a spiritual battle that the enemy is launching onto our life. He is trying to get into our life, trying to deceive us, and trying to get us to go his way. It's something that's spiritual. And we have to resist. When the evil day comes, the day of evil, the day of temptation, and the devil launches those fiery darts into our life, if you remember our series on the armor of God, when he launches those attacks, we have to stand firm. And the only way we do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the best that we can expect on our own strength, if we operate in our own strength and our own ability, the best that we can ever expect is for us to operate in our flesh. If we're operating in our own strength, in our own abilities. And the Word of God tells us that our flesh, it is under the influence of sin. You know, our spirit was saved. It was, you know, our spirit was saved whenever we received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We receive him. And we commit our lives over to him. The Bible says that we are regenerated on the inside. He gives us his spirit. We become alive. We are justified before him just as we have never sinned. Our spirit is saved. Our mind and our soul is still being saved. It is under the process of sanctification, being cleansed, being washed. However, our flesh is still under the influence. It is still under the influence. And until Jesus comes back, whether he comes for us or we go to see him, whichever way that happens, until that day, whenever we will be made perfect and we will be made like him, until that day, we are wrestling with this thing called the flesh that is under the influence of sin. Meaning that as long as we spend more time entertaining our flesh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that wants us to draw closer to him, is not going to have the upper hand. Our flesh, as long as we are entertaining it more, and if we spend our time, that is what's going to have influence over us. Because at the end of the day, there is a battle for self-control in our life. And the fact is that truly we are never really in control. Either the flesh is in control of us or the Holy Spirit. We are giving ourselves over to the flesh or we're giving ourselves over to the Spirit. It's one or the other. And we'll read that in just a moment. We must entrust ourselves to the Spirit of God, to his Word, so that we can develop and we can add self-control in our life. Because the purpose of the devil launching attacks into your life, he wants to get a foothold. He wants to get a foothold so that when the time comes, he can always get in and be able to have his way in that area of your life, causing you to be ineffective, causing you to doubt yourself, causing you to not be confident, causing you to stumble, causing you to fall. If he can just have that area. But man, when we take that and we give it and place it under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, The devil, because he doesn't have an easy way in. He wants to lead us astray from God. But as long as we allow the Holy Spirit to have control, it ain't happening, buddy. It's not happening. We become aware. We're aware of our life. Now, every day there is a battle for self-control in our life. So we have to ask ourselves, is there any area in our life that is out of control? That is out of our control? Maybe it's finances. Could be relationships. Our attitudes. How we treat other people. How other people perceive us. Our thoughts. Are our thoughts out of control? Our language. Is our language out of control? Our habits, our personal habits. Our emotions. Are our emotions in control of us? Or are we in control of our emotions? And there's many more areas, but is there any area out of control? You know, sometimes it's hard to identify an area because really, sometimes there are desires that can have control of us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There are times when desires can have control of us. Things like acceptance, that desire for acceptance, whenever it's out of control, then we find ourselves doing things to earn people's acceptance. A desire for love that is out of control will cause us to do things that we don't want to do. Desire for pleasure, same thing. Desire for wealth. A desire for achievement and performance, to perform so that people will see how awesome I am. Desire for notoriety and fame, a desire for comparison, comparing myself to others. I have to have a bigger house. I have to have a better car. I have to have a better life than them. I'm not good enough because they're better than me. That desire for comparison, is it out of control? Is it to have control of us? We have to identify. And if we say, no, I'm good, man, I'm perfect, I'm good, then we're blind. We have to take a step back to identify so that we can continually ensure that the devil doesn't have control of us, but instead that we are trusting our life, every area of our life, to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You see, whenever we are right with the Lord, we know it. You know, there is a peace, a contentment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, whenever you are right with the Lord, you can just, there is just, you're just happy and you know that things are good. But when there's an area of our life when we're not right with the Lord, you can feel a tension. You can feel it. You can sense it. In that place, there's a discontentment and we know it. Whenever we sense that, it's an opportunity for us to identify it and realize it's an opportunity for us to entrust it to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We need self-control. We need the Holy Spirit to produce self-control in our life. So, how? How do we add self-control to our life? We're going to look to the Word of God. Four things that we must do in order to ensure to add self-control to our life. Number one is we have to live by the Spirit. That's the first thing, first and foremost. We have to live by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. There's no way we're going to be able to win a battle if we're living in the flesh. But it says here, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. If all I'm doing is all day long, all I do is entertain my flesh, I'm going to operate out of the flesh because that is where I'm living. But when I find time to entertain, to be able to give the Holy Spirit a place in my heart, place in my mind, and I am seeking to obey God, I'm seeking the Lord in my life, the Holy Spirit, I am living according to the Spirit. I am living by the Spirit. I am walking with Him. I'm inviting Him into my life. And that produces a desire to want to please God for that day. I need Him every day. We need them every day. We need the, we must walk with the Spirit every day to have self-control for that day. So we must live by the Spirit. That's first and foremost. That's the foundation. We got to walk with Him. Secondly, the second thing we must do is we must think before we act. When that time comes, I love this scripture here. I've never seen it before. Proverbs 13, 16. I thought it was cool when I read it. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, it says here. But a fool flaunts his folly. A fool just says, you know, man, I don't really care. Man, whatever, man. I'm just going to do my thing. But a prudent man, a wise man, acts with knowledge. Acts according to what he knows to be right. We add virtue and we add knowledge, knowing what is right. And when the time comes, we must stop and think, what is right? What is the right thing? What is it that God wants me to do in this moment? Stop and think what we know to be right. Thirdly, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. We ask the Holy Spirit for help. Romans 8:26 says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. In the moment of temptation, if we're walking with the Spirit, if we are doing our best to please God, when temptation comes, we stop and we think, what is it that God wants me to do here? What is it that His Word says? And then we ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me. Help me to do the right thing. He says that that's what the Holy Spirit is here for, to help us. He is there as a helper in our life. He is there. So we must live by the Spirit, think before we act, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and then number four, choose to do the right thing. At the end of the day, it will come down to us. It'll come down to you. It'll come down to me making the decision. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Whenever we ask for the Holy Spirit to help us, He's going to give us what we need. He's going to give us the ability to make the right decision. That's what He's going to do. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's going to give us the power to make that decision. However, we have to choose. We have to decide. The Holy Spirit, He will give us what we need. When we have the desire to do what is right, and we have the knowledge of what is right, all we have to do is have the discipline to choose what is right. And that is self-control. Self-control in those areas of our life where we are trusting into the hands of the Holy Spirit, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He will do the work. He will give us the power and the ability to do that very thing. Listen, I'm sure every person in this room has walked through this very thing. The process of maturity shows that we have walked through periods of our life where we have to lean on the Holy Spirit for self-control. There are things that we can say no to, and there are things that are harder for us to say no to. And many times it's the small things. It's the small things, many times in our thoughts, in our attitudes, and those things, those small things. But as the Word of God tells us, it's the foxes, the small foxes that spoil the vine. Those small things starts with small that the devil will look, but when we give them to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it produces self-control. On top of our faith, let's add virtue. On top of our faith, every day, let us add knowledge. And every day, on top of our faith, let us add self-control, the ability to choose the right thing. Let us choose to do the right thing. Let us do it, because there was a battle for self-control in our life. The devil, he wants control. And he's going to start with one little area. He's going to try to get another one until he can lead us away from God. Let us win the battle of self-control in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit, leaning on him. Amen? A few takeaways. Number one, invite the Holy Spirit into your life every day. Whether it's for the first time, if you're here and you've never been born again, you've never entrusted your life over to the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you will be saved. You will be born again. He will come in. He will save your soul. He will save your life. All you must do is trust in him. Ask him into your life, and he will save your soul. Whether it's for the first time or for the next time, we must invite the Holy Spirit into our life every day because we need him every day. Let us trust him. Let us ask him. Live by the Spirit and trust him with our life. Number two, choose to do the right thing in the moment of temptation. When that moment comes, we can't stand in our own willpower. It won't work because it's a spiritual attack. Physical weapons won't work. Physical tactics won't work against a spiritual attack. We need a spiritual strategy. That is the Holy Spirit. We must choose to do the right thing in the moment of temptation. When it comes, let us lean on the Holy Spirit. Let us think before we act. Let us ask the Holy Spirit for help so that we can choose to do the right thing. And as we do it every day when that moment comes, and listen, if we fall, listen, you can't do anything about last time, but we can do something about the next time. Let us choose. Let's stand strong. Don't give in to the lie that the devil says, man, listen, well, hey, man, you've already messed up. No. Nah, man. You keep trusting the Holy Spirit because the next time is going to be different. Trust and choose to do the right thing. And doing it continually will produce self-control. And then number three, refuse to give the devil ground in your life. You know, I think this is a conviction that when we have this conviction in our life, when temptation comes and we refuse and we identify and realize that it's not just us just wanting to do something that we don't want to do, it is the devil trying to launch an attack on your life. Let us refuse to give him ground. Let us refuse to play a part. Let us refuse. Let's decide that, nah, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust in him. I'm not going to play this game because I know where it leads. I know where it leads. Let us refuse to give him ground by walking with the Spirit, just choosing to take time out of our day every day to give our life over to him, starting with the Word of God and in prayer and trusting him and doing that every day. We are producing self-control. And let us teach it to others. Let us pass it on to those who are around us. Let us encourage those around us as well to not give ground to the devil in their life. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for self-control. It's a byproduct of you working in our life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would invite you into our life every day so that we can choose to do the right thing when the time comes. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would have a conviction, a refusal for the devil to take ground in our life. Lord, I pray that we would stand strong and we would resist the enemy, Lord. And God, I pray that we would do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We trust in you, Lord. God, I pray for the areas of our life, God, Lord, that God, that we don't have control. And Lord, God, Holy Spirit, I pray you would help us to identify those areas that we can begin to give you control in our life in those areas, Lord. We thank you and we do it unto you. If you believe that, say amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this dynamic message from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.